This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Outside, don't get in the highway or anything, but you want to dance in maybe some streets where there's not too much traffic. That's Martha and the Vandellas. You remember them? Very catchy tune. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed. We thank you very much for being with us. It is Tuesday, May the 25th already, and in a few minutes, Mike Gonzalez of the Heritage Foundation is going to be with us, and we're going to talk about how he feels critical race theory is being institutionalized across the country, across America. Stay tuned for that. I think it's going to be a very interesting give and take. And the so-called conspiracy theory about COVID-19 escaping from the Wuhan lab seems not so conspiratorial anymore, does it? All of a sudden, even the, dare we say, woke media is talking about it. We're going to get some thoughts about this and other things from the proprietor of the barber pole, who has his own idea, by the way, about the COVID-19 virus, Andrew Ceresi, the master barber. And who would believe that now the world's richest person is a fashion tycoon? A fashion tycoon. The world's richest. Do you know who it is? We're going to tell you about it a little bit later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, if you were good people and listened to our show yesterday, you know we did the top 10 states with the highest lifetime taxes. We are going to give you today the top 10 states with the lowest lifetime taxes. Let's see if your state's in there. So stay tuned for that later in the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop for my money in Tampa Bay, Florida. It's called Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street in Overcash, on Overcash Drive. Call first for your appointment, however, 727-733-3773. And don't forget Good Morning Clearwater, preceding us every morning. They're on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Paul and Tracy Allen. I think Paul's down in Miami still. I thought he'd be back. At least Tracy will be with you. I think Paul might be with you tomorrow. Let him start off your day with the latest in news and entertainment. Well, anybody that lives in New York, New Jersey, or Florida knows that people are leaving the first two states and entering the third. Florida Chief Financial Officer Jimmy Patronis argued yesterday that people are leaving states that are, quote, financial train wrecks, unquote, like New York and New Jersey, and then moving to Florida to escape what he called, quote, tax hell. Tax hell. When we did the highest taxes, you'll note New York and Florida were among the top 10. Not Florida, I'm sorry. New York and New Jersey were among the top 10. Patronis says there has been an uptick of about 900 people a day moving into Florida. Holy cow, how can we take in all those people? Where are we going to put them? Where are they going? 900 a day? Well, he says Florida lets people keep their money, unlike some blue states, which he said are upside down. Earlier this month, Rick Scott, our senator here in Florida, pointed out that the Sunshine State saw a massive population boost from people fleeing high-tax states and long-lasting coronavirus restrictions. He said, this is Scott, he said in the 8 years he was governor, quote, we cut taxes 100 times. I don't know if he really cut taxes 100 times, but he did. He was pretty conservative. He said that they streamlined the regulatory environment and they recruited businesses. That I remember. He was big on bringing businesses into Florida. I think he was largely successful. So, I mean, we know that already. You know, the people are escaping New York and New Jersey. I guess gasoline is, I don't know if it's ever going to hit $3 here, but it's well over $3 in, across the country on average now. Speaking about gasoline, California. Highest in the nation, gas taxes are going up again. Why would you want to be in California? Other than it used to be a very beautiful state, everything's going wrong there. They've got droughts, fires, earthquakes, taxes, a lousy governor, water shortages. In the southern portion of the state, a lot of smog. 4 years after their legislature boosted the gas tax in order to fix their crumbling roads and bridges, they've spent billions and made some progress, but officials now say the funding is sufficient only to complete less than half of the infrastructure work that is needed. What does that mean? It means they're going to have to raise taxes again. Among the taxes that they are going to consider hiking will be the gas tax. The gas tax has been a political hot potato in the Golden State since it was passed in 2017. And the gas tax has increased 12 cents per gallon in 2017. Then it went up an additional 5.6 cents in 2019 and 3.2 cents in 2020, bringing their total state levy to 50.5 cents per gallon. Can you believe it? 50.5 cents per gallon in California on tax alone. So what happens when you start taxing people like that in New York, New Jersey, and California? They go to places like Florida and Arizona and Nevada and Oregon. Well, maybe not Oregon because there's a lot of taxes there too. But that's what happens. And the only thing we worry about here in Florida is you're going to bring your liberal blue politics with you. We don't want that. We don't need that.
I wanted to correct you on the fires out in California.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Those were Trump's fault.
Yes.
No, remember, they were Trump. Because
yes.
Either it was the earth was angry, global warming. Yeah, I think it was the global warming and the earth is angry, which it also created.
Well, the earth is angry at Trump.
The hurricanes, too.
Hurricanes are angry. Yeah. So is the San Andreas Fault.
Yeah.
It's very upset with Trump.
Yes.
It's doing the splits over Trump. Yeah, I mean, the thing about California was, years ago, it was so nice. Not anymore. I mean, it's just like, talk about killing the goose, laying the golden egg, or whatever it is, you know? That's what happened in
California.
When
do you think it started to go downhill?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, Ronald Reagan was the governor back in the 60s, and it was much more conservative back then, obviously. I'm trying to think. Remember Jerry Brown? There was a governor by the name of Jerry Brown. That was very liberal. He was the first guy I remember back in the 70s.
Mm.
It started to turn back in the 70s, I'm going to think.
What about when the governor was there? Schwarzenegger.
He was the wonderful governor. I don't know. He was, I thought he would be very conservative. He was not quite that conservative. He was kind of a back and forth kind of a guy. I don't know. He was...
Well,
to be honest with you.
Back and forth would be a good analogy when you get caught with the maid.
Yes, that's true, too. I mean, I thought he would be real conservative. You know, I just thought he came from, I think it was Austria, where you know, they when growing up, when he was growing up, that was still being dominated by Russia. I don't know
well,
about
he's very
that.
Anti-Trump, too.
Yes, he
very,
never got along with Trump.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take our break. We're gonna, when we come back,
We're going to talk with Mike Gonzalez of the Heritage Foundation and the idea of critical race theory being institutionalized across the country.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Cantalk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Tuesday here, Freedom Works. And the Texas, you know, everything's, a lot of things going on in Texas these days. Good and bad, I know. But the Texas Senate over the weekend passed a new version of a House bill banning the teaching of critical race theory in their public schools. Let's see. Senator Brian Hughes introduced this bill. It passed with 18 Republicans in favor, 13 Democrats opposed. And here is here's what one of the senators said. We must teach the truth about our history and judge others based on the content of character and not the color of skin. But we do know that this concept of critical race theory is indeed permeating much of the educational systems in our country. And we've got Mike Gonzalez, who was a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. By the way, Mike has authored a book, The Plot to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free. Boy, is that true, Mike. That is so true. But you've talked a little bit about this institutionalization of critical race theory. I believe that it was published in the Washington Times a few days back. Welcome back, by the way. Tell us a little bit about, I mean, I'm a little bit worried. I'm definitely worried about what these kids are being taught. They're so impressionable, you know? And this is becoming a staple of many systems in schools.
Yes, it is, and thanks for having me on this.
Of course.
I'll break some news here with you. The governor of Tennessee, Bill Lee, has just signed a bill rejecting critical race theory as well.
So wow.
What I'm seeing is across the country, there's a widespread rejection by the American people of critical race theory. In rejecting critical race theory, what we're saying is that these practices, these training programs, these curricula violate the Civil Rights Act of 1964, of course, Title VI, which says that you cannot discriminate on the basis of race or national origin, and then later amended to add sex. And, of course, the 14th Amendment, Equal Protection Under the Law Clause. So you cannot violate the Constitution, you cannot violate the Civil Rights Act, and if you use a racist program, such as critical race theory, to separate the races, to say that white people are racist or perpetuate systemic racism, and that non-white kids can, reading and writing is a product of white culture, and punctuality is a product of white culture, and all these things, that's a form of child abuse.
It is.
True. or actually even the use of reason. They say it's a form of, I mean, these are things that racists used to say, because they're racist.
I mean, can you believe that we've arrived at this? I'm trying to think of myself as a third grader or a fourth grader. You're very impressionable. You're so impressionable. And you haven't formulated these prejudices, you know, yet. And here you are being subjected to the concept that perhaps a child sitting next to you or in the next row who happens to be a different race than you are, you are supposed to feel some emotion about them that is different than an emotion you might feel for somebody of your own race. You know, just the concept of putting that into the minds of an impressionable young person. I just think that when you say child abuse, that's exactly right. I think it's child abuse. I mean, first of all, let's back up a little bit, Mike. How would you define critical race theory if somebody asked you that question, like me?
Well, critical race theory is a form of scholarship. It started in the academy, in academia, that puts race at the center of everything, sees every human interaction through the prism of race. Since the race is not a choice that you and I make to be racist, but it is systemic. It is the whole culture, everything, the language, the institutions, the law itself are races that used to perpetuate white supremacy. So it is it's obsessive about the way it looks at race, and it is at base. And this is something that the proponents and some of the defenders of critical race theory try to deny, but I guarantee you, at base, it is Marxist. It is anti-capitalist. It is the originators of this, Derrick Bell, Kimberlé Crenshaw, Angela Harris, etc., and the people who practice it, Eva McScendy, Robin DiAngelo, all deeply dislike capitalism because they say capitalism is racist, because capitalism produces unequal outcomes and uses the wrong criteria to produce those outcomes. So it is the system that has given us such prosperity and such freedom, they would like to dismantle it. That's why it's so dangerous.
Oh, my God, yes. And you mentioned the Biden administration is making critical race theory our official state ideology. That is about as scary a sentence as I can say. In its Department of Education has proposed prioritizing grants for courses that use critical race theory. And Biden signed into law a loan forgiveness program for farmers, apparently, except for those who are white. I mean, I'm just thinking, it's being run from the top, from Washington, from the center of our government. I mean, what is going on here?
Yeah, and it's not just that. To make it even more scary than that, it's also the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense has just removed a commander from the Space Force because he was speaking out against this Marxism. He was a whistleblower. Effectively, they just fired him. And they're mandating, they're offering that the sailors and the soldiers and the Marines and their airmen, etc., read all this material, critical race theory material, and I'll tell you why this is even more dangerous. And the schools is bad enough, but what they're telling people who take an oath to defend the Constitution in their country is that the Constitution is illegitimate, it's invalid, and that their country is ugly and racist. So why would they put their lives on the line for that?
Yeah. This is so hypocritical. People are pouring into our country, trying to escape their livelihoods in other places. And we're hearing this from people inside our country. We're talking with Mike Gonzalez. He is a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. And he has authored a book, The Plot to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free. So in the very title of your book, Mike, The Plot to Change America. So do you think it's really a plot by certain groups?
It's not a plot. It's not a conspiracy in the sense that people go into basements in Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, or Cambridge, Massachusetts, every Wednesday night, and meet there. It is a plot in the sense that all of the people leading this charge are all reading from the same page. They all have the same idea that we're systemically racist. The Vice President of the United States speaks very eloquently about this. She, Kamala Harris, believes that we're systemically racist, that we need to have color-conscious policies by the government. In other words, unequal law, unequal policy that treats people differently according to, I don't even know what race you are, but you'll be treated differently according to your race. And that is a very dangerous notion. So yes, it is a plot in that sense.
It's permeated even the Federal Reserve, I think. Regional Federal Reserve banks are taking an increasingly, what it says here, alarming stance on politically charged issues like racial justice. This is according to Senator Pat Toomey. He's a Republican from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I saw that this morning.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
kind of scary. I mean, are we getting it into our finances and the way we're going to dish out credit and money and stuff?
It's in baseball. It's in sports. It's even the places we go to escape from politics, we're confronted by this.
That's for sure. People taking a knee with the American flag and the whole bit. If you go to a sports contest, although I don't see as much of that going on, thank God.
But it is happening, though. If you go to the websites, for example, the Washington Nationals, you know, their pinned tweet is about social justice. And, of course, all these words, right, social justice, Black Lives Matter, diversity, all of these, if you analyze the word in their traditional, you know, in definition of the word, they're all good. You know, I believe in social justice. I believe that Black Lives Matter. I believe, you know, these are all important things. But there's always a twisted meaning to these things. By social justice, what they mean is inequitable.
Think about this, Mike. If you went into the streets going with a sign that said White Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, how quickly would you be condemned by the media, right?
Look.
I mean, really, it's just...
The concept of Black Lives Matter, I have no issue. You know,
of course not.
Black Lives Matter.
It's all lives matter.
It's the organization that are Marxist. The organizations that call themselves Black Lives Matter, the leaders are Marxist. They say it about themselves that they're Marxist, and they want to do things like the dismantle capitalism and dismantle the nuclear family, which are the basis of everything we do.
That's right.
So we have to be very aware of these things. This is where I mean. In my book, The Plot to Change America, I have detailed exactly how this is done. I have a new book coming out in September on Black Lives Matter. What I want to do is expose all of this because the media is not doing it.
So, first of all, if somebody wants to get your book, The Plot to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free, it is available now, on the internet, bookstores, et cetera, right now?
It's available in bookstores, available on Amazon, it's available everywhere. It sells fairly well on Amazon. In The Plot to Change America, I describe everything that is happening to us right now, ever since, you know, 12 months ago.
Yes. I mean, the identity concept, you know, of looking at somebody. We have said on this show, I don't know how many times, if you treat a person as an individual instead of as part of a group, you're not going to get into the trouble that you get into. But once you start grouping people, whether it's their gender, their socioeconomic status, their race, their religion, you know what I mean? This is where we get into trouble. It's the grouping of people. And I think when you talk about a Marxist ideology, that's what they try to do, a divide-and-conquer thing, us versus them, right?
Yeah, no, they believe everything to them is power dynamic. Traditional Marxism divided society by economic classes, the bourgeoisie against the proletariat, except that didn't work. There were very few revolutions because people can change their stations in life, right? But you cannot change your race, your national origin, or your sex. Yeah, newsbreak, you cannot change your sex.
So,
they want to base revolution and societal destabilization on things that you cannot change about yourself. I cannot change my national origin. I cannot change my race. I cannot change my sex. That is why the categories are based on these so-called immutable characteristics.
Yeah. And so it just it's just a dividing. I mean, it is such a depressing thing that we have. We're taking up so much time. I hope, you know, like they say, this too shall pass. One would hope, but it seems like no matter how much we talk about all of this, that this kind of socialistic Marxist kind of philosophy about doing this is still moving, you know, in their direction. I mean, it's just, when are we going to be able to turn it back the other way?
They never give up, right? They never give up. However, I am detecting, I do want to close out with good news here. I am detecting a nationwide rejection of this. The states are all passing laws against this. Individuals are acting out. Parents are forming groups. Workers are saying to HR, no, I'm not going to go to your stupid training. That's a form of workplace harassment. So people are fighting back. Americans love liberty. They don't want to live like this.
I think you're right. Absolutely right. I think in the long run, people wake up. I hope. And I'm not saying woke up. I'm saying wake up. Mike, it's a pleasure. And again, I want to plug your book, The Plot to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free. So folks, if you get a chance, get out there, look for that book. Thank you, Mike. We'll be talking again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you. Yeah, anytime. And thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Mike Gonzalez. All right, we're going to take a break here, and then the so-called conspiracy theory about, you know, about the virus escaping from the lab in China. Hey, maybe there's some truth to it. We're going to talk about that and some other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
There's life underground.
You're back. And by the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern, Freedom Works on the Tantalk Radio Network. We're delighted to be here. We've been doing this show for a long time. I think, Ed, this show started in 2004. Oh, my God. I was just a little kid when we started this show. But if you can't listen live, thanks to Ed, we've got all our shows on podcast. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, so even Anthony Fauci is now hopping off the virus started in some wet market in Wuhan. Now he's even saying, well, maybe we got to take a second look. Well, duh. I mean, you've got this huge lab there where they're doing all this viral research and everybody knows about it, and somehow we're not going to think that the virus escaped from that lab? Are you nuts? Are you nuts? And even the Biden administration. I mean, come on. As Biden would say, come on, man. Come on, Biden. Start being honest with people about it. Anyway, we've got the proprietor of the Barber Poll himself, Andrew Cerisi. And Andrew, I know you've got your own thoughts about the virus.
Hi, Paul. Listen, yeah. Fauci's been going back and forth. It came from here, the bats, the possums. You know what?
The possums.
They got pictures of Obama and Fauci in Hunan Lab. Need I say more?
Yeah, there's no question. I know that Fauci's been involved with the Wuhan lab.
Okay, he's involved with it. They should hang him at the 7 o'clock meeting. I thought that guy had everything to do with it.
Yeah.
Okay? And as far as the Biden administration, he knows nothing that's going on. Look at what the moron's doing today. He invited the family of George Floyd to the White House. They probably flew there on their private jet today with the $27 million that they got.
Wow. You may be right about that. This is the one-year anniversary of the death of George Floyd, and I've noticed the mainstream media beating the drum on that one, right? At the same time, look what's happening in the major cities where they are cutting back on their police force. Look at them. Look at what's going on in New York and Chicago.
I've said this before. The police, the walk off the job for 2 weeks in every state in this country.
Yeah. Well, in many cases... Yeah, no, but I was going to say, in many cases... We've got police leaving, a goodly portion of them, and look what's happening. All of a sudden, I mean, what does it take? How stupid do we get? You know, the inner cities, which need police protection more than any other area in our country on a regular basis, and that's where they're leaving.
You know, Paul, I'm disgusted with all this race education in the schools. You know what? This is so blown out of proportion, it's unbelievable. It all started with Obama. We all know that. Now, let me ask you a question, Paul. How many whites do you know go beating up on blacks? You ever hear about that? No.
No.
How many Jews do you hear beating up on the Arabs? You hear about that? No. Well, it's these handful of people that are causing all this trouble, and we're letting them get away with it.
Well, you see, it's not politically correct to say that probably there is more black-on-white crime than there is white-on-black crime, because then you'd be branded a racist. Well, we'll say it here because it's true. But
you know what? I'd be proud to be called a racist, because I'm telling you right now that the whites do not beat up on blacks. The blacks, 98% kill each other in these cities, okay? And it's okay. You know what? If they want to kill each other, let them go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. It's the innocent people that we worry about, right? And you do, too. The innocent people in the inner cities that are dying from the guns that are being fired and all of the things and the drugs and the hopelessness and all that.
You know what, Paul?
But we can change that, and the Democrats don't want to. Go ahead.
The innocent people need to start standing up. Okay? It's their own fault for laying down and playing dead and hiding behind their door. It's time we stand up to this, Paul.
I think the first
1% of the population trying to control what's going on in this country, and they're bringing it down because the dumbass Democrats are letting it happen.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, and we've talked about this many times. The Democrats run every major city in this country. Look at what happened in what's happening in St. Louis. By the way, St. Louis has the highest per capita crime homicide rate, highest in the country. You know, per 100,000 people. I forget what we read it the other day. It was like 87 or 98 people per 100,000 are killed. And it's number one. And she is defunding, the mayor, a female black woman, is defunding, is trying to defund the police. But they're going to lose even more police in St. Louis.
The one in Rochester, New York, the black mayor, the black female mayor, her husband got busted last week with 2 kilos of cocaine, all kinds of guns, illegal guns. Hey, what's this all about? She says, well, I don't know nothing about it.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? My wife knows everything I do.
Of course.
She's got a GPS strapped in my belt that I don't even know about.
Well, she should.
Are you kidding?
She should. I've heard you. I know what you're... Well, we won't go there.
It's enough of this crap that's going on, Paul.
Yeah.
When are the people going to get, you know, we got to stick together and say to hell with this. It's 1% of them.
You're right. I was listening, and I do it in the morning sometimes when I get up. I listen to C-SPAN because they have call-in people They're always, their topics are usually very, I don't know, designed to make liberals look good and conservatives look bad. And this was the one-year anniversary of George Floyd. But somebody called in and said, you know, George Floyd, he's railing around, flailing around. If he had just got into that cop car quietly, he would have been back out on the street safe and sound later in that day. But they...
Hey, Paul,
go ahead.
People don't listen. I know people, just alone in Florida, they got a suspended license for DUIs, right?
Yeah.
They go in to get their temporary driver's license so they can drive back to work, school, and church, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are still driving all over the place. You're sitting there breaking the law. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just going here, going there. They don't care, Paul. Another, remember I told you the other day about my 82-year-old friend that got fired from Enterprise, right?
Yeah.
I had to lay him out yesterday because he was cursing Ron DeSantis for getting rid of the $300 a week unemployment. I said, David, what the hell is the matter with you? I said, I've been paying for these people for over a year with my tax money. Look at all the help wanted signs out there. Well, you know, they're going to go back to work. They're going to lose $100 a week. Well, it's the dumbass government's problem for giving them too much.
Right.
They're baptizing them into socialism. That's what they're doing. They're making them fat and lazy.
Yeah.
The last thing America needs is to get any more lazy.
Yeah, we brought that up. I think we heard about it yesterday while the show was on, that DeSantis, and I had been waiting for him to do that. I thought for sure Florida was not going to continue to accept that money because we do have so many openings for people to come and work. And to do that, I mean, come on, man. So it's good to hear that they did it.
If people sit there and complain, well, you know, I'm making $12 an hour, that's not enough. You live in a country that you can do anything you want to do, okay? If you don't like the job you're doing flipping hamburgers, go learn a trade.
That's
true. You get an apprenticeship for 3 years for air conditioning, for plumbing, and you know what? You're going to make $30 an hour. Get off your lazy ass and do something about your life and quit complaining, looking for the handout.
Yeah. No, you're right. You say it like it is because this country was founded on the idea if you have personal freedom and personal responsibility that goes along with it, and we believed in that concept and it made us the greatest country in the world. This little patch of land, you know, sitting out here.
Well, I don't know about a lot of people in America, but I wouldn't like to wake up every day just to sit on my porch in a chair and see what's going on and drink beer.
Right.
Okay?
Kind of sad life, isn't it?
If that's what this country is about, I got news for you. We're never going to win. And the World War II generation wasn't like that, but this generation is getting that way, and the government's making them that way.
Well, that's because they grew up knowing they had to fend for themselves and work hard to make something of themselves. So it was in their blood. It was in their, you know, in their culture. Knowing that they had to get up and they had to be responsible people and responsible for themselves. And they were the first ones to, their country called on them, they were the first ones. That group was the ones. They were the greatest generation in many ways.
Donald Trump is going to start his rallies again in June.
Okay.
You know what? I can't wait. Because he is going to, the Democrat Party is going to be crapping their pants when he starts, because he's going to put it right on the table, everything that they're doing. Look at what the moron did. He cuts out our pipeline, and he allows the Germans and the Russians to have a freaking pipeline.
Okay, you're talking about Biden now. Okay.
Yeah. Let Russia supply the gas to all our NATO allies. How stupid is this guy?
Here's another thing you may not know about this. Biden is going to rely on other countries to supply the bulk of the metal needed to build electric vehicles, rather than using American and U.S. miners who can mine the metal, right?
Isn't that a wonderful thing? I hope all these union morons that voted for him see what's going on.
Yeah.
And you know what you could do with your unions? You could take them and cram them, because this was destroying this country.
You are really in fine shape today, I must say, Andrew. Yeah? Do you think the union...
I'm saying it as I see it,
yeah,
Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, I guarantee you there's a lot more people that see it like I do.
Right. So...
fed up.
Yeah, I think they are being fed up. I think it's turning. I think people are responding. They are. You know, you can only poke a bear, a sleeping bear, with a stick so many times before it wakes up and takes a swipe at you.
Well, it's going to take more than a swipe, I think, when it happens.
Well, I mean, maybe digest you.
I think they're going to get steamrolled.
Yeah, that may happen as well. My friend, it is always a pleasure. I'm glad you're back. I know you've been doing some really great Good Samaritan work with a gentleman. I hope he's doing well.
Paul, you have to give back in life. You just can't take. And maybe the liberals ought to learn that message right there.
Yeah.
Give back. Don't just take.
You are so right. Thank you, Andrew. And we will talk again.
Have a good day, buddy.
You too, my friend. We'll talk again on Friday. All right. The Master Barber. Boy, he was really kind of energetic with his feelings today. All you had to do was, you didn't even have to wind him up. He was very wound up, wasn't he? Yeah. Okay. We are going to take our break. And by the way, did you know, or would you believe the world's richest person is coming out of the fashion world? Did you know that? We're going to tell you all about it when we return. And also, the top 10 states with the lowest lifetime taxes. Only
the lonely. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final portion of Freedom Works today. And, Ed, do you know who the world's richest person is right now? You have any idea? Did you peek so you know who it is? Okay. Ed does not know. I would not have known.
No.
I would not have known either. The name of this person is Bernard Arnault, A-R-N-A-U-L-T. He's a Frenchman. As of this week, he is the world's richest person with an estimated net worth of $186.3 billion. That's with a B. And it puts him ahead by $300 million, which is pocket change, but it puts him ahead of Jeff Bezos, who's worth a paltry $186 billion. And in third place, Elon Musk, $147.3 billion. What happened to Bill Gates? Well, I know what's really happened to Bill Gates.
Well, he's really going to plummet.
He's going to plummet. They're going to cut his...
I'm thinking by about half.
Exactly. Exactly right. So, listen to this. He was only worth, they say only... In March of last year, he was only worth $76 billion. He's now worth $186.3 billion. That's a $110 billion hike in 14 months. Apparently, he's got the luxury group, LVMH, Louis Vuitton and Moët Hennessy. It has these different companies, Fendi, Christian Dior, Givenchy, and all of these fashion companies are going through the ceiling.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know why, especially with a pandemic, that the fashion industry would be up like this. But it says here, pushed by the momentum of shoppers in China. Shoppers in China. The LVMH group recorded a revenue of $17 billion, with a B, for the first quarter of this year. That's up 32%. So what is it? What is it with China and fashion? I don't think of that.
Well, the rest of the world was in a pandemic. You remember, China only had like 8,000 cases.
Oh,
totally.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
totally, so everybody was healthy.
Yeah, everybody got over it real quick. They were done with the virus 2 weeks after it started.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I forgot about that. But isn't that interesting? It says here, over the years, the very top of Forbes magazine's billionaire list, largely dominated by Americans, the number one spot has been occupied by U.S. citizens, including Bezos, Musk, Gates, Warren Buffett, for the best part of two decades, with only Carlos Slim, good old Carlos Slim. That sounds like a guy that goes into a Nevada gambling casino to play some blackjack or something. Carlos Slim, he's from Mexico. And he indeed crashed into that. But Bernard Arnault, I think, is very, very surprising and interesting. Okay, before we get to our top 10, and I want to see if Ed can guess who is number one, the top 10 states with the lowest lifetime taxes. In other words, you spend your entire life there. What is the median amount of taxes you will pay while staying there? I want to talk about two things. One, our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning, who lost, I think it was 4-1 last night, Ed, and now the series is getting a little closer with the Lightning 3 games to the Florida Panthers 2 games. Were you disappointed?
Well, I was disappointed that, I would just like it to be over with because, well, this is a very physical series and it's going to take its toll. The last thing they want to do is go 7 games in this thing and get beat up.
But you're confident the Lightning will win it.
Yeah, I just think that the rookie goalie for the Florida Panthers kind of, caught them off guard maybe. And they'll be back here Wednesday night. For game
Yeah, a goalie by the six. Name of Knight. I remember him being put in, and we scored, the Lightning scored within 27 seconds of the game.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, are we ever going to go to town?
Yeah.
That was the last time they scored the entire game. Right.
So I think they'll pull it off here. I'm with the firepower that we've got, they'll study this goalie and get his tendencies and get that down.
So in other words, they didn't know how this goalie would react in certain shots.
It's like a football game. Remember how the quarterback goes down, the back comes in,
and you don't know what
he has a great game, and then you think, oh, this guy should be starting.
True.
And then defenses have a chance to look at him and get tape on him, and then,
That's a very good point.
So
okay, you're confident. What about, and here's another, it's almost phenomenal, the Tampa Bay Rays baseball team, how many games have they won in a row now?
11. And, this comes
at
off the heels
11.
Of, they just traded Willy Adames. And, every year we say, what the heck are the Rays doing? They're trading this player.
Yeah, they always end up on their feet.
No, Charlie Morton's gone, happens. This happens.
Who's the general manager, do you recall?
Eric Neander.
Do we salute him?
To me, that's the Rich McKay of baseball. Rich McKay being the old Bucks GM. He's the one that, I know Tony Dungy gets credit, but before Tony Dungy got to the Buccaneers, that
Rich McKay
drafted Warren Sapp,
right?
Derek Brooks, John
Lynch.
Guy
for the Rays is doing the same kind of thing for the Rays?
As an eye for talent, and I think that the way that they're running their system, they call it the Rays way, with pitching and stuff, it keeps them ahead. They just needed the offense to kick into gear.
It is so great to see a team with a low payroll winning.
And I think Kiermaier's next to be out the door because, listen, he's just not as good as he was on the field, and he's atrocious at the plate. Again, last night, 0-for-5. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Kiermaier could hit the ball better.
I see.
So I think it's time to move on.
Okay. Very interesting. Thank you very much, Ed. All right, it is time for our top 10 states with the lowest lifetime taxes. We did the highest yesterday. It comes from Self Incorporated. And we're going to find out if Ed knows. We're also going to find out where Florida might rank in the states with the lowest lifetime taxes. So here we go. Number 10. Number 10 is Tennessee. And if you live in Tennessee, you will pay $348,000 in taxes. That would be 27% of your lifetime income living in Tennessee. 27%. Number nine, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprising, I think. $347,000 you will pay in total taxes in your lifetime. 26% of your income. Number eight. This one was kind of interesting. New Mexico.
Hmm.
I mean, most of these don't go out west, but New Mexico, and you would spend about $347,000 in your lifetime in taxes, 27% of your income. Number seven, Mississippi. Not surprising to me. $344,000 and 29% of your income. Number six, Oklahoma. Going out west again. $342,000 in taxes. That would be about 26% of your total income in your life. Number five, not far away, Louisiana. Louisiana, $340,000, 25% of your income. Number four, the great big sky country, Montana. $334,000 lifetime taxes. If you're riding around on a horse in Montana, that would be about 26% of your total income. Number
you know, Montana gets a lot of credit for a lot of good stuff. You
oh,
know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Montana was the first place to knock off that $300 federal unemployment tax. Did you know that? They were the first. Yeah. Yeah, you got to give them credit. It's also got a lot of beauty up there.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah.
Beautiful parks. Okay, number three is Arkansas. Arkansas. $331,000 lifetime taxes there. 27% of your income. Okay, we're getting close here, Ed. Mm-hmm. You think Florida might be one of these two coming up?
I'm going to say Florida and possibly one of the Carolinas, so I'll go with North Carolina.
Okay. Well, number two is Alabama.
Well,
it's not far from North Carolina. It's not far from Florida.
Yeah.
$322,000 lifetime taxes, 24%. Okay, Ed, roll the drum. Is it Florida? It's West Virginia.
Wow.
Where all the coal mining is.
Wow.
They don't pay a lot of taxes relatively. They spent $321,000 in lifetime taxes. That would be about 25% of their earnings. Now, it's a very poor state.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of them only work like half the year, you know, in the summertime and stuff like that. In the wintertime, a lot of those jobs aren't open.
Oh, that's true. I never thought of that with the mining and all that.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, Florida came in 37th.
Wow.
Okay. In other words, one being the worst, which is New Jersey.
Right.
And so it's 37th out of basically 51 because we include Washington, D.C.
Mm.
So it's towards the lower.
Right.
Towards the lower. And by the way, it's 378,000 with in Florida, lifetime taxes, 29% of your income.
Right.
So there you go. All righty. Hey, we are delighted you stayed with us. Please stay tuned with Pat for Patsy with a Z right after the news. We will be back on Friday. And always remember, freedom works.
Hey, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed. It ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl and I want to make her mine.